I don't know whether you've seen the classic Nick Park animation came out a few years ago called Chicken Run. One of my favourite. I've watched the film a number of times. I like Nick Park's humour, the feeling and the expression he manages to portray on just what is lumps of clay, basically. There's a scene from the movie where the chickens are depressed. They can't escape from the chicken farm, from Mrs. Tweedy's chicken farm. Mel Gibson appears as Rocky Rooster, and he tries to lighten the atmosphere. He wants to cut across their depression. He shouts, "Whoa! Heavy alert!" He tells the chickens they just need to lighten up, and then decides to throw a party to take their mind off the impending fate that they're about to become the contents of chicken pies. The scene's always struck in my mind because there's something a little bit in me, like Rocky Rooster, that wants to gloss over bad news. When there's something serious, there's something in me that wants to shout, "Heavy alert! Lighten up!" It's probably my work as a marketeer, always looking to give the good news, gloss over the bad. But there are times to get serious. And I feel like on our journey that God's taking us as a church, there's time where God wants to say something to us that God wants us to receive with a solemn heart. Not a heavy heart, but a solemn heart, a serious heart. And each Sunday, Nick and I try to listen to what God's saying, what we believe God's saying, and have a share what's the heart of God for us as a church on our journey at this point as we're walking with God as a church here in North London. And I believe God wants us this morning to take a look at our hearts. Not to become self-absorbed and introspective, but the state of my heart and your heart is very important to God. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we're here today for you, and we want, Lord, as we've already heard, read from that passage in Hebrews, that today, as you speak, help us not to harden our hearts. God, whatever you're saying to us today, give us the grace, give us the attentiveness necessary to really hear what you're saying. Lord, not only to hear it, but to take it on board and to do it. God, we're asking for grace. We're asking that you'd open the eyes of our heart to see this morning. Maybe things we've never seen. Maybe things that we've never looked at clearly. Open the eyes of our heart. We pray. Amen. The Bible's got a lot to say about the heart. As you read through the Bible, if you do a search, a concordance search on the word heart, it's throughout the whole of Scripture. The heart seems very important. We know that God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. There's that passage in 1 Samuel where God spoke to Samuel about choosing a king. And there were several potentials. And one of the people that Samuel looked at thought, "Oh, he's a good-looking guy. Maybe he's going to be the king." And this is what the Lord said to Samuel: "Do not consider his appearance or his height. I've rejected him. The Lord does not look on things as man looks. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." See, the guy that Samuel first looked at on the outside looked good, but God saw straight through to this guy's heart, and he saw he wasn't the kind of heart for the job that God had in mind. God had someone else with a different heart. God looks through us and looks at our hearts. God sees straight through us today, and he sees our heart, he sees the state of our hearts, what our hearts are like. And I believe God's concern for us this morning is that we would be honest with ourselves about the states of our heart. There's a contrast in the Bible between what's described as a heart of stone and a heart of flesh. And the picture is a heart that's stony and hard and unresponsive and not willing to hear or listen. And a heart that's a heart of flesh, that's warm, that's beating, that's vibrant, that is vulnerable. There's quite a contrast in Scripture. The passage in Hebrews 3 that Joe read out contains this bit here. I just want to reiterate it. And it's the writer is writing to Christians. It's a letter writing to believers. He's not writing to hard old non-Christians. He's writing to the Christians. And this is what he says. See to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See, his concern was that as Christians, we could, in our hearts, turn away from God. The outward thing could be great. I could be praying. I could be going through the godly practices, or reading the Bible, coming to church, whatever I'm doing. But yet inwardly, something's happened in my heart where I'm turning away from God. That's his concern. The concern of the writer of the Hebrews is that something would have happened on the inside that would have caused my heart to turn away from God. The danger of that is an inward change is not necessarily seen on the outside, and we may not even be aware of it because it's something deep in our hearts. He continues, he says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, you know, there's each day, so that none of you may be hardened. You see, his concern was that my heart wouldn't become hardened. His concern that was that a heart that's responsive, listening, open to God, wouldn't become stony and cold and unresponsive. That was his concern. That was why he wrote this. And as a follower of Christ, I can either have a heart that's soft, responsive to God, or I can have a heart that becomes hard and, as he says here, turns away from the living God. The thing about it which is dangerous is we don't know, because it's something that happens on the inside, what's happening to other people. And the warning here is to encourage us as followers of Christ to look, see the state of our hearts, and to see how responsive my heart is. Looking at my own spiritual journey, looking at the years I've been a Christian, I can look back and I can now look back and think, I wonder how it happened then. There was a time where I loved God passionately, and I was willing to do this and do that, and I would stay up reading the Bible, and I would go to these prayer meetings, and I would do this. There was times of where my heart was soft and responsive. I can also identify times where my heart was cold and unresponsive and like stone and not moved by the things of God. And it's easier looking back. It's easy if you look at your Christian history, as it were, you can think of seasons of your life where your heart was a heart of flesh and where your heart was a heart of stone. The hard thing is now realizing where my heart's up to. That's what I want to talk about today. I think God wants to encourage us to look at our hearts and to look at our hearts today. Someone once said this, the heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. The heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. See, there's something about our heart, there's something about the heart of a person which is very fundamental. It's something kind of deep in the depth of you and me, our heart is there. And so when we have problems, when we experience problems in our lives, when we trace it back, the root cause is something deep inside my heart. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Jeremiah just tells it as it is. He's always a bit of a negative soul sometimes, old Jeremiah. But at least he tells it like it is. And he's being honest with us. And he's saying the heart is deceitful above all things. There's something about a human heart where we don't always honest about where my heart is. There's something where I kind of just like to put on, it's the tendency of us all to put on a mask, pretend things are fine, just carry on, not being really honest with myself and others about what's going on in the depth of my heart. There's a tendency, I believe, in each of us for our devotion in God to wane, for our singleness of heart, for our passion, for our heart that beats with a love for God, for that to grow cold. The writer in Proverbs says this, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. In other words, what he's saying is that above all things in your life, watch over your heart, guard your heart, look in your heart. Because he says, from your heart, the wellspring of life. Something flows out of our hearts that affects all of our lives. Impacts what we think, the things that are important to us, our motives, all aspects of our lives. So he's saying, above all else, watch over, look at, make sure that your heart is good, that your heart is soft. The Bible describes us as having a spirit, a soul, a body, heart, mind, will, emotions, memories, all these different facets. God has made us wonderfully complex. It's very hard to put the heart in a box and say, well, the heart is just that and not that. Trying to draw a line between where my mind is and where my heart is. It's very hard because God's made us and knitted us together in such a wonderful way. But our heart is the place of passion. It's the place of devotion. It's the place of emotion and will and purpose for my life. There's something very down there about hearts. When the Bible describes our heart, it's talking about not just something where I'm thinking. It's something which is a driver, something which is a passion, something which is burning inside me. That's the place, my heart. It's very difficult to put it in a box. If we think for a moment about the life of Solomon, he's quite a poignant illustration of what happens when someone starts off with a heart that is passionate, a heart that loves God, and his heart turns away from God. It's quite a warning to us in Scripture, because when Solomon starts off as a king, God appears to him and says, what do you want? Now, what would you like me to do for you? Imagine that, God coming and saying to you, blank check, what would you like? Anything. Now, we see the heart of Solomon in that what Solomon does is Solomon doesn't say he wants anything for himself. He asks for godly wisdom that he could fulfill the job that God had given him to do. That shows his heart. Imagine being told by God, I will do anything. What is it you want? And his response was, what I want is the ability to do what you've called me to. What a heart. What a fantastic heart of devotion. What a heart that put God first. What a heart that said, God, I just am here for your glory. What will bring you credit? What will be something for you? That's how he started off. But how he finished that wasn't so good. 1 Kings 11, it says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David had been. And not blaming the women in his life, he married about 1,000 of them, I think. But it wasn't their fault. He chose to marry women who weren't followers of God. He, against God's instructions, he chose to marry people who didn't want God, love God, want to go God's way at all. And so over a period of time, this is the insidious thing. This is the warning I've got for us this morning, is that I believe the thing about our hearts is things change in our heart very slowly. It's not that one morning Solomon woke up and said, well, I'm going to turn my back on God. I'm going in the opposite direction. Over a period of time, what happened was that slowly he got worn down. Slowly, these wives that he married that didn't love God, want God, that they managed to persuade, to entice, to slowly, slowly grind him down so that his heart turned away. It was not fully devoted. And in later few verses, it says this in 1 Kings 11, 9. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the living God. You see, at one time, his heart was fully, God, I'm just here for your glory. I'm just here for you. I'm fully devoted to you. All I want is you. It's got to be you. And then over a period of time, he ended up with a position where instead of God's blessing and favor being on his life, instead of that, God's anger was burning against him because he had turned his heart. Now, Solomon's life stands as a warning to us to guard our hearts, watch our hearts, and however passionate our hearts have been in the past or are today, to watch over and guard the affections of our heart. It's a warning. Chapter 3 of Hebrews continues the warning. Joe read it earlier on. It says, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And the people of God in the Old Testament, they heard God's voice, but they hardened their hearts against it. See, one of the things about coming One of the things about coming together to hear God's word as we do on a Sunday is if we hear it and do nothing about it, we harden our hearts. So we're in a worse position than if we stayed at home. Do you see that? That actually, if I'm hearing what God's saying, if God is speaking this morning and I'm hearing it and I'm not doing anything about it, then I'm hardening my heart to what God's saying. And I actually leave in a worse state. Jesus warned, Jesus' words of warning in the New Testament about those who hear and don't do, those who listen and don't put it into practice. And so actually, we're putting ourselves in a position where we're obliged. We've got to bring our hearts before God and say, God, I want to have a responsive heart. I want to have a heart that when I not only hear, I do something about it. In one sense, at the end of every Sunday morning or every time you read the Bible or every time you listen to a message, whenever you read a Christian book, the response of my heart has to be on my knees, God, help me to do this stuff I've just read. Because if I don't, I'm putting myself in a dreadful position. I am allowing my heart to be hardened and I'm heading in a path away from you. Do you see why as Christians, in a sense, what God's asking us to do is a tough thing. Because God's asking us to be those that as we hear to respond, to be willing to be to be there before God saying, God, I so ask that you'd soften me. God, I so ask that you change me. God, I so ask that you give me the ability. And this is where that lovely word grace comes in. Because grace is God giving me the ability to do what he's asked me to do. It's not just about blood, sweat and tears. It's not just about gritting my teeth and saying, okay, here I go. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. It's about receiving God's grace to do what he's asking us to do. That's the good news, that God's grace is here to help us. Now, I want to take us this morning, we're going to do a little heart check this morning. We're going to look at the symptoms of a hard heart, and we're going to ask that God will come and help us. What are the symptoms of a hard heart? Well, the first symptom is stubbornness. Pharaoh in Exodus, the Egyptian ruler Pharaoh, he wouldn't listen to God's word. Listen to Exodus 8. Now, what happened here was that Moses did some incredible miracles and told Pharaoh what God was saying. Now, even the occult magicians recognized it was God and we need to do something about it. But, oh, not Pharaoh, no. Pharaoh hardened his heart. His heart was hard. He would not listen. There was something tremendously stubborn about Pharaoh, is that he would not take it on board. And, you know, he serves as a warning to us that my heart, that where it says here, he would not listen. But I would say, God, give me a heart where I would listen. I'd be wanting. I'd be on the edge of my seat saying, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying to me so I can do it? So that my passion would be, God, speak to me so I can do what you're asking me to do. The next symptom of a hard heart is rebellion. With people of God in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 9, Moses has had it up to here with the people of God. And he says to them, You have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I've known you. He's just fed up with them because they just keep rebelling against God. God says go this way, they want to go that way. All the time, constantly, constantly against what God wants. Our cry is, God, give me a heart that isn't like that. Give me a heart that when you say something, I want to see how can I put it into practice, not how can I skirt around it, not is there an opt-out clause, is there a little exclusion bracket at the bottom, but God, how can I embrace this thing you're saying, how can I put it into practice, how can I do it? Next symptom of a hard heart is pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a king of Babylon. Huge, successful Assyrian kingdom. And in Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar is a situation where he's been warned. God has given him a dream. Previous to this, God's given him a dream that he is going to judge him because of his attitude, because of his pride. And sure enough, he doesn't take any notice. Nebuchadnezzar continues. He's been warned in a dream. Daniel's interpreted it to him, told him what's going to happen. And what happens is this. he's walking along. The king is walking along one day. He's looking on the roof of his palace. He says, is this not the great Babylon? And it was apparently absolutely astounding. I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my residence. No, glory of my majesty. Now, as soon as he said that, God humbled him. And he became mad, crazy. He was driven away from his people. God humbled him. God gave him an opportunity to humble himself. And when he didn't, he was humbled. I think God gives us grace to humble ourselves. And there is going to be a period in time where every knee will bow. Everyone will be humble before God. No exceptions. There will be a time where everyone will be humbled. But God gives us an opportunity to humble ourselves. And God gave this Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity and he didn't take it. Pride. His heart was hard with pride. And so in our lives now, I want God to say, God, search me, try me, test me. See if in my heart there is pride. Because if there's pride in my heart, I want to humble myself now before you're going to have to humble me. Please, give your grace, let me humble myself now rather than it be necessary for you to humble me. God did humble him and he did repent and he was restored. But he had 7 years eating grass, losing his mind. And when he was restored, he was a different guy. But he could have done it the easy way. He could have repented first. And so in our hearts, God, one of the aspects of hardness is pride. And I think it's something that of all these things, I think that, you know, living in the society we do, in the country we do, there is such pride. There is such pride in our hearts. God have mercy on us. Next symptom of a hard heart is unresponsive stoniness. Of course, Matthew 13, there's this parable of the sower, and Jesus tells a parable of how the sower went out sowing the seed, which is the word of God, and the seed just bounced off and didn't go in. And Jesus said, but the other heart that was soft and responsive, the soil that was good, bore fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. The way to know, the test to see, is my heart hard or not? This is the objective test. I walk along and look behind my life. Is there a 30, 60, 100-fold fruitfulness from my life? If there is, my heart is soft. If there is not fruit flowing out of my life, if there's not a multiplication, if I'm not seeing the fruit of God, if I'm not leaving behind me a magnification of what God's given to me, that's the test. So it's quite objective. It's quite easy, really. I just examine my life. Not being introspective, negative, and getting bogged down in it, but just for a moment, just look back and see, well, in my life, have I produced fruit 30, 60, 100 fold? If you have, your heart is soft, good, and responsive. If you haven't, it's stony and hard, at least to some extent. Last symptom of a hard heart is the church in Revelation Sardis, where Jesus said to this church, you, church, are cold, hard and dead. Now, this was a church that had a reputation for being alive. It was the charismatic, knees-up place of the day. People would go to conferences, big speakers, good worship. It was a fantastic place. But what Jesus said to this church, you have a reputation. Look what it says in there. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. See, God doesn't look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And so God looked into their hearts as individuals and as a corporate body, and they are dead. And he says, wake up, you're asleep. You're dead inside. It's hard, it's stony. These are the symptoms. The symptoms of hardness in our lives. Okay, what does a good heart look like? Of course, the heart of Jesus. When we look at Jesus, we see what a good heart looks like. We see what a heart that's soft. We see a heart that's a heart of flesh. We see a heart that's responsive to God. Let's look at some of the things, characteristics, you like, of a soft heart. Firstly, first characteristic is a soft heart is one that weeps. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, as he approached the city, he looked down on the city and his response to the city where he was going to be killed, where he was going to suffer and die, he saw ahead. As prophetically, he saw ahead to the year AD 70. He saw what was going to happen as the Romans came and destroyed the city. He saw the murder, he saw the burning, he saw the heartache, he saw the destruction of the temple. He saw it all prophetically years ahead as he stood there. He prophesied, he spoke about it. As he saw it, his heart wasn't this hard lot of rebellious, stiff-necked people are going to get what they deserve. His response was, he wept. He wept. Jesus was moved to tears by the suffering that he saw was going to come upon these people as a result of their hardness, as a result of their choice, as a result of things that they had done. Nevertheless, his response was one, he wept. His heart was soft. His heart was responsive. As he approached it, he wept over it. He wept over the lost. Characteristic of a soft heart is that if I have a soft heart, I weep over those who are going to hell. That's a characteristic of a soft heart. To be bothered about people around me who aren't going to heaven. Even though they deserve it, even though it's their choice, even though they're living in a way however they want to live, nevertheless, a characteristic of my heart is one of weeping. Is one of feeling touched by their plight. It's a sign of softness. Do you know, I think in this journey that God's taking us as a church, there's going to be a lot more weeping. Because I think that it's part of what God does as he softens us and as he changes us, is he gives us a compassion for those around us who don't know him. And that compassion leads to, as it did with Jesus, this sense of weeping, weeping before God, saying, oh God, these people around me don't know you. These people around me are going to be shut out of heaven for eternity. And it drives, what it produces in my heart. And as I look at that, I know I don't care. I know I don't care enough. I know I don't weep over those that are going to hell. I know my neighbours who are going to hell. I don't sit at night weeping over their fate. I know my heart is hard. Jesus had a heart that was soft. Jesus had a heart that's soft. Another characteristic of a heart that's soft is a compassion. If you look, if you do a search through the Bible for the word compassion, it describes what Jesus again and again and again. It says he had compassion, he had compassion, he had compassion. There was something in a soft heart that flows, which is compassion. It's care, it's being bothered, it's actually being moved deep inside. Compassion is a very deep emotion. Compassion is something which stirs inside, which almost drives you to do something about it. Matthew 9, it says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw these people that were leaderless. They were heading nowhere. They were harassed. They were helpless. And his response was one of compassion. Something stirred because his heart was soft. He was stirred. He was bothered. He was bothered. It stirred him. Something flowed in his heart. And I know in my heart that I know that that's not true. That I don't flow with that compassion. I know my heart is hard. I haven't got the compassion that Jesus had. When Jesus saw people that were sick, again, often it says in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus saw two blind men that were sick. And it says Jesus had compassion on them. Often, it's interesting this, when you see the motive for Jesus healing people, it was to demonstrate the glory of God, it was to demonstrate the kingdom of God, but actually he was driven, the reason he did it was out of a heart of compassion. It says, Jesus had compassion, so he healed. There was something stirring in Jesus that just wanted, that just was wanting to see others blessed. See others restored. See others come into right relationship with God. He was totally concerned with the needs of others, not with his own. There was something in him that was very selfless. And his focus, he was never a doormat. Amazing thing about Christ, never a doormat, but always full of compassion. I want a heart like that. That is what it means. Christians, the word Christian means little Christs. They were first, it says in Acts, they were first called Christians in Antioch because they were behaving so much like little Christs, going around doing the work of Christ, speaking the words of Christ, that they called them little Christ Christians. And that was why they got the tag. It was almost like a little nickname they gave these people. I want that. I want that in my heart. In John 11, Jesus was moved with the pain of others. Jesus saw the weeping of Mary and Martha at the loss of Lazarus. It says that there in John 11, that as Jesus was weeping, John 11:33, Jesus saw her weeping. It says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus was deeply moved. He saw someone weeping over the loss, and he was deeply moved on the inside. Something deeply stirred him. Jesus' heart went out to people. There was a woman who's lost her only son. Jesus saw the funeral procession. And it says this, he saw her in Luke 7. His heart went out to her. Jesus' heart went out. Compassion, something stirred within him, and he cared. Next characteristic of a soft heart is it's responsive to God, responsive to God the Father. In John 14, Jesus said, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what the Father commanded. See, Jesus was so responsive. A soft heart is responsive to God. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He was so kind of on the edge of his seat, just waiting. God, what do you want me to do? I'm looking, I'm waiting, show me and I'll do it. It's the opposite of rebellious. It's the opposite of stubborn. It's the opposite of these kind of things. It's the opposite of pride. It's a heart that's so humble, so dependent, so ready to do what God says. Jesus was on the edge of his seat, just waiting to hear what God wanted him to do. And then he'd go and do it. That is a heart that's soft. And lastly, a heart that's soft is a heart that's passionate for the things of God. In John 2, Jesus was so incensed by what was happening in the temple. It says that he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area. Sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers, overturned the temple, the tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, get out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? He was incensed. His disciples remember what is written, zeal for your Father's house will consume me. He was passionate. Jesus was passionate for the things of God. He was passionate for the honor and glory of God. And so a characteristic of a heart, of a soft heart is that I am passionate. I am moved by the things of God. As I look inside my own heart, you know, I realize I may not be the stage Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar are at, but compared to Jesus, I'm honest, my heart is stony and hard and cold. I believe God's saying to us as a church, not just myself, but to us as a church, we are a people and our hearts, to some extent, are hard, stony and cold. Now, the fate of those in Scripture whose heart grow hard is a warning. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call that we don't allow our hearts to continue to be hardened, but that we bring them before God and ask God to do something in our hearts. Do you know what? We probably spent this morning a little bit of time before you coming, getting yourself ready to come to the meeting so you looked good. Whatever you did, had a shower, brush up, combed your hair. Didn't take me long, did it? Got ready, got dressed, ironed your clothes, looking nice, whatever you did. You spent some time preparing to come here to be seen by the people. I've been really challenged recently, Sunday by Sunday. How much time on a Sunday am I spending preparing my heart to come to meet God? If I spend 10 minutes preparing my body, how much time am I spending preparing my heart that my heart is prepared, is ready to meet the living God? I've been really challenged personally with that. Now the good news, this morning you think, oh, what a depressing message. That guy's just gone on and on about what a hard-hearted lot we are. The punchline of what I'm saying this morning is there's some good news. And the good news is God knew the fact that our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. God knew the fact that every inclination of our heart is towards evil. And so God has made a way, thankfully, to do something about it. Praise God. Otherwise, we'd all go home and go, oh, well, not going there again. The punchline is that God put on the heart of the prophets as they looked ahead, as Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these prophets, as they looked ahead, they saw God was going to do something in his people that would be a heart transplant. You don't have to live with your old stony heart. You don't have to put up with the state of your heart. You don't just have to do your best. I'm not sending you away from here today saying, look, you lot, just go and do your best. Just get serious and get on with it. Because thankfully, when a heart's failing, what it needs is a transplant. God put on Jeremiah. There's Jeremiah, our prophet of doom. He gets some revelation. Heaven opens. God shows him something. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 24. God says, I will give them, this is God's people, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people. I will be their God. For they will return to me with all their heart. God's going to give a heart to know him. It's a new heart. It's a different heart. It's a heart that's got an inclination towards God. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel, same thing. Gets this revelation. Revelation God gives him is, I will give them, God's people, an undivided heart. And I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. That's the promise of God. And he expands it later on in Ezekiel 36. God gives him more insight. And this is our punchline for today. God says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So what's God not saying is, look, you lot, just shape up. Here are the laws. Get up, get on about it. Go and do them. God's saying absolutely not that. What God's saying is, I'm going to put something in you that's powerful. And that isn't a heart that's hard and stony and unresponsive, but that a heart that is a heart of flesh, that is moved to do the things of God, that is moved to be responsive, that is moved to love God. And this is part of our inheritance of what it means to be part of the family of God, part of God's new community, God's part of God's people, that God's promised us this. We can have a heart like that. And so this morning I want to encourage you that God wants to do a heart transplant. God wants you to realize, open the eyes of your heart to realize that there's a heart available. There's such a heart available that God can put inside me that would be beating for him. There's such a heart that God wants to place inside me that is a heart which is responsive, which is compassionate, which is weeping, which produces this 30, 60, 100-fold. Now this morning as I'm talking, if you think, well, I haven't got a hard heart, it's not me, I've got some news for you. It is you. Because the whole thing says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We deceive ourselves. And so if you think this, if as I'm talking today, you're weeping and your heart is soft before God, then praise God, you're in a good state. If not, you need a heart transplant. You need what's on offer, which is God is promising a new heart. It comes as part of the package. It comes as part of what it means to be part of God's kingdom. It's God's promises that he's going to give us something which beats responsively towards him. And that means all the characteristics of Jesus that we looked at can be mine. Oh, wow, what a fantastic thing. What an offer. What a promise. What's something to get hold of. What a scripture to meditate on. What's something to say, God, what you've promised, I want it. I don't want to continue with the hardness in my heart. I don't want to be dominating by being stubborn and proud and rebellious and unfruitful. I don't want that. I want a heart that's weeping and compassionate and responsive and obedient and zealous for the things of God. That's what I want. I want one of these, God. I want one of these. God is only too willing to give us what's part of our package, salvation package, as it were. We've got to want it. We've got to ask for it. We've got to receive it. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I'd really encourage you to take time this week to reflect this passage in Ezekiel 36. Read it, think about it. I honestly believe this passage is something God is saying to us now. It's not just kind of a personal feeling, but it's come a number of times, a number of different ways from a number of people. The fact that this is the message of the Spirit of God to us as a church today. And if you're part of this church, this is for you. And, you know, I'm not standing here criticizing you or saying you're this, that, and the other. But this is something for us together as a church. And I'm being honest before you and saying, I have got, my heart is, it's not as soft as it could be. Okay, we're not like Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar. But our hearts are not as they could be. And God wants to reach in us and to do a heart transplant. And it starts by me admitting, God, I've got a stony heart. God, I've got a hard heart. God, I'm hard on the inside. God, it starts with just simply humbling myself. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. So it's today saying, God, oh God, I'm humble myself before you. I haven't got that kind of heart. God, would you do a miracle, a supernatural work, supernatural transplant? Give me this heart. And Jesus said, ask and go on asking, seek and go on seeking, knock and go on knocking until God gives. And this is a journey. This isn't just we ask once, walk away, that's great, I've got it now. Because this is incredibly supernatural, incredibly powerful. It's something which God wants us to appropriate fully, grasp it, have it, so that people would point to us and say, look, they're little Christs. They're walking around doing and saying what Jesus did. Oh God, Lord, let's stand today in God's presence, shall we? Now, I want to warn you today. What I've talked about today, Jesus said, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. So my passion, my plea, my prayer, my request to each one of us is don't turn your back on what God's saying today. It's vital we take seriously what God says. I just want to read out that scripture again. Let these words wash over you. Let these words inspire faith in you. It's Ezekiel 36, you'll find it when you get home in your Bibles. This is the promise of God. God says, I will give you, receive this, ready? I will give you a new heart. Oh, 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 oh. And put a new spirit in you. Oh. I will remove from you your heart of stone. Lord, please do that. And give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God, that's our prayer. Lord, that's our cry. Lord, 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 we humble ourselves before you. God, we have got stony, hard hearts, Lord. We're asking that you do what you promised. Take out this heart of stone and put back a heart, Lord, that beats for you, that's fully devoted for you. Oh, God. And Lord, I want to repent where in the past I've been more passionate about things, where I've cared more about the lost, where I've been more passionate for the things of God, where my heart has become hardened, where it was soft and now it's hard. God, I repent. Confess my sin, God. Asking for your forgiveness. Asking for your softening work of your Holy Spirit, Lord. God. Just as we're quiet before God, the Holy Spirit has pinpointed an area of your life where you used to be soft before God, but now you are hard. Just do some business in your heart with God. Confess it. Repent. Own up to it. Say, God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Lord, I determine, and I speak, Lord, for us here today, Lord, we are determined, Lord, to ask and to go on asking and to seek and to go on seeking. God, until we have a heart like Jesus, a heart that is pure and passionate, a heart, Lord, that's soft and responsive, a heart, Lord, that is humble, a heart, Lord, that is contrite, a heart, Lord, that is soft before you. Lord, 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 do a miracle. I can't do it. I cannot do it, God, in my own strength. I cannot cause this revolution inside to happen by my own efforts. God, it has to be your grace and a supernatural heart transplant. God, God, it's our passionate cry to you this morning. Do it in our hearts. May we be a people that are characterized by weeping. Oh, Lord. Lord, by caring, by compassion, by being passionate for you, by our obedience to God. Lord, may we be moved as Jesus was by the plight of others. God, Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit, amongst us. You're welcome. Spirit of God, come. Come this morning, your majesty and power, changing us, transforming us. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Wonderful. Lord, Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful. Just place your hand on your heart if you don't mind, just for a moment. God, God, Lord, burn. Burn in our hearts, Lord. Lord, burn. Jesus, you said you come, give us a baptism of fire, Lord. We don't know all that means, but a part of that, Lord, is fire to change us, fire to burn up all that's not of you, transforming us, burning through our hearts, Lord. Lord, we're asking. Jesus, oh God. Lord, 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 oh God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive today a change of heart. We receive from you supernaturally something of your Holy Spirit changing us on the inside. Oh God.